Hello guys, welcome to Blackspin Global. I am Lucy.
I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. And today we have a special guest.
Sure
friend
do.
Of the pod.
Sure do.
The friend of the pod. I like that. Yeah, like the pod. Yeah. From The Guardian. We had him before, but we had him back again, Mr. Tumaini. Welcome. And happy to have you again, guy.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Tumaini.
Thank you for having me, and I'm glad that my audio will be much better than last time.
Oh yeah, true. For those who don't know, last time we had Tumaini here, we were doing it like through Hangout, Google
Video
Hangout.
Chat, yeah.
Yeah, due to COVID, but you know,
my computer couldn't keep up.
Yeah. We had a little bit of difficulties at the beginning, but we pulled it through. That was a fun episode, to be honest.
That was
probably one of my favorite episodes. To be very honest.
All our guest episodes I've loved. So
yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. But Eugene, how you doing? Actually, how you
doing? I'm very good. Like it's my week off, so I've got a nice long week of doing absolutely nothing to look forward to.
Tommy. That's the vibe.
Indeed.
The vibe. Tumaini, how you doing?
I'm good. Same really. After the last 3 weeks, I'm just I feel like I'm alive again.
Yeah. Well, I'm good. I'm perfect. I'm fine. I'm a bit tired.
I was going to say, we're all kind of feeling it after the US Open, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Right. I feel, you know what? I think I should have bought like a bottle of like champagne or something to celebrate because I'm tired.
Literally sat opposite Lucy. She's wearing shades.
I'm wearing shades, guys. I feel like I'm on the Breakfast Club. I feel like, you know what? I'm just tired. That's how tired I am. It's just, I don't want to see the light at the moment, but.
Yeah, for me, like, the craziest thing is how hard it is to follow tennis, right?
Yeah.
Like if you follow football or other sports, it's just easy, right?
Exactly. It's all in front of you. I don't think people understand the sacrifices that we make.
Such a good point. Yeah.
I'm sacrificing my sleep. Do you know how much I love sleep? Like, I don't understand. Like, so props to us because, you know, one moment we're watching a tennis match at, 4 a.m., the next day we're watching it at 2 p.m. Like, you know,
it's crazy.
So
it's mad. But no, we've loved it though.
Yeah, we did.
I think it's the only place to really start is the US Open.
Yes.
And from our perspective, Naomi Osaka, the queen.
My goat.
Winning US Open number 2, Grand Slam title number 3. And I said from the beginning, like, this tournament, regardless of the result in the final, I said, like, the US Open belongs to her, like, this year. Like, just through, like, everything she was doing with face masks and, like, just her whole, just outlook on the social justice issues.
Yeah.
For me, the final result was never in doubt. Like I expected her to win, but at the same time, like, it did get a bit nervy, like after that first
definitely.
Set, which obviously we'll talk about. But yeah, just your guys' views, like, because my shout to Lucy, I did say that she was going to win the whole thing.
You did.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it there. But yeah, like, what was your takeaway?
I was actually so happy. To be very honest with you, I was really, really excited. Like, I've said it on the pod before, like, Osaka is someone that I loved even before she even, like, won her first slam. Like, before she was proper big, I remember saying it, like, she's going to make it. Like, I saw her playing, I was like, yeah, she's a serious one. But I was honestly so excited, especially, like, with everything that she did in terms of, like, the social, like, trying to get the names out there with the mask. And why I like is that she just went out there to play. Like, she wasn't, like, she was just focused. Like, you could see that she's just like, all right, I'm just going to get up, go and play, and then leave. And what I loved the most as well is I feel like since she's been back from the whole, like, pandemic and stuff, it looks like she actually enjoyed playing as well.
Yeah.
And, like, you could actually see, I saw the difference between when she was playing before and when she was playing now. Like, now she's enjoying herself. But when US Open came, she was, like, so focused. Like, you could see she was pumping herself and, like, trying to get herself focused and stuff. And she already said as well the fact that she was, quote-unquote, protesting, that was helping her, like, win the slam. And you could see that she really wanted to make sure that she wore that 7 masks. Like, she said it when she started. She's like, I wasn't going to wear that 7 masks.
Such a powerful statement.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And, like, we need to remember that she was alone when she did that. You know, we're talking about a very white-dominated sport for middle-class people as well. That's the thing. It's not even just about race, about class as well. So the fact that she did that on her own, a bit like how Lewis Hamilton did that on his own with Formula One as well. She didn't really, like, a lot of people were like, that's great, And the US Open putting that little Black Lives Matter poster thingy, blah, blah, blah. That's that. They just did, for me, obviously, they just did it for image. For sure. But she was actually there because she wanted to do something. But besides all of that, in terms of her play, she played so well. Her serves were amazing. Her forehands were just amazing. The way she was playing, it was absolutely like unbelievable. My favorite matches from her the entire time was the semi-finals against Brady.
Yeah.
I think that was actually the best match of
big
the tour.
Babe tennis.
Yeah. That, big babe tennis, yeah. Honestly, so I can go on and on, honestly speaking, guys. Like, I'm just so happy as like an Osaka fan, a tennis fan, a black woman, a woman. Like, honestly, like, she made everyone proud, and 3 slams in a row, like, hey, she's going to get all of them.
We'll see.
Oh. So
but so for me, like, when this pandemic started, like, the thing I was looking for is, like, when players normally get injured, like Sloane, like, when they get injured, often they spend time away from tennis and they, like, live a normal life and they come back with more perspective. So I was curious to see, like, who that would work for.
Mm.
And she's, like, clearly, she's been one of the clear ones who went, like, far and beyond. Like, she obviously was protesting and all of that stuff. And she clearly learned a lot about herself and about what's important. Particularly as, like, if you remember, like, before it stopped, she lost to Goff in the Australian Open. Yes. And that was not good. Like, that was really bad. Because of the hype, people didn't really talk about that, but that was a bad loss.
And even after that,
after
I think
the Fed Cup, the Fed Cup, she was crying. Exactly, she was crying on the court, and she lost easily. So after the fact that she's come back and she just had completely different perspective, and you know, she's had the activism, and which has been amazing in itself. And you know, she was kind of, I think, you know, whatever happened results wise, you know, she grew in most people's eyes.
Completely,
exactly.
But also, like, we saw how it like, it fed her tennis. Like, as you said, she was more calm.
Yeah.
And also, like, it was after her final, like, she was talking to ESPN and she said, you know, the fact that I had these masks, it made me want to win because then more people would talk about, would see it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to see that kind of happen at one and to see, like, people outside of tennis reacting to her and all of that stuff. I mean, the whole thing was kind of just a unique, I think,
honestly,
like, spot in tennis history.
Honestly,
really,
yeah, this is history. You know, I'm talking about this moment.
Exactly. We've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Going back to, like, day one, in terms of looking at the women's draw, who was your, like, pick? Like, can you honestly say?
And I mean, she would have been my pick.
Okay.
If she hadn't had her injury, that was the only thing that made me worry. And then, when she talked about it, and she was in the first few rounds, she was like, I'm not really sure, blah blah blah. So actually, I'd say, like, I knew like she was one of the favorites, and so I knew she could go far if she was fine. Also Azarenka, honestly, because, like, when she gets into a rhythm, you know,
you had Azarenka from the first round,
because she won the title. So, and I saw how well she played
so I thought
that's interesting.
I just, you know, like, you know, when you're that good and when you're that kind of, when you've shown what you can do in the past, like, As soon as you get it back, you don't lose it.
But I felt like that was the only tournament before that that I felt like
such
a wow.
For sure,
because Lexington, she got slaughtered.
By Venus.
And then boom, she won the next one. And then US. And the thing is, the way I see it, to me, when a slam comes, like, especially in this time, I remember even saying it before. I said this US Open is not going to make any sense. I don't know how. I know that mad is going to happen. But one thing, for example, I definitely did not expect Azarenka at the finals, even though she did make it that far. I'm not saying that, it's not like she can't do it.
Yeah.
She's literally, I love her, like, do you get what I mean? Besides from the black players, she's definitely, like, one of my favourites. A lot of my favourite matches for, like, with Serena is with her as well, like the 2013 US Open final, like, that's one of my favourite matches. And, but I still didn't expect it, to be very honest. I only had Serena and Osaka for the final.
But more for Serena, obviously.
Because that's my queen.
I think you were more Serena.
I was definitely more Serena, 100%.
I was more Osaka. Although I did say, you can't write off Serena. You can never write her off.
Of course not.
And we'll get into that later on. But just still on Osaka, like, how we've all kind of seen, not kind of, we've seen, like, the impact she's had, like, off the court. Like, how important do you think that is, like, in terms of, in this day and age, like, in terms of tennis being the sport it is, like, for someone like her to be this huge voice, like, do you think that's obviously there must be huge significance, like?
I mean, like, we saw at the slam that there were 12 black, I mean, we'll talk about that as well, that there were 12 black female players, and you see the impact of Serena and Venus, and so clearly, like, there's, I mean, in terms of, like, one, like, attracting black players in, two, and just, like, I don't know, just showing that, I don't know, just showing your voice and being able to be more than just a tennis player. And I don't know, I think, yeah, as a white sport as well, as a predominantly white sport, just to see like the person, the like focal point is a black woman and a woman, and also like biracial and from different heritage. That's just true. I don't know, it's just it's symbolic and also just important in the way she's been able to, you know, to not just like generally speak, but specifically speak about like police violence and police brutality and and all of these things. So
because that for me that's been the most like powerful thing, like the fact that she's been able to kind of like bring attention to like individual cases.
Because
I've kind of gone back and forth with certain people like on social media about, oh, like you would never see Serena doing this or Venus doing this, and like I don't think that's fair, because we, as just outsiders looking in, none of us have like a personal relationship with the Williams sisters or the Williams family. We don't know what they're doing in terms of like behind the scenes, and I can imagine
she's
doing,
done that, she's done it before.
And, but this is what I'm saying,
I'm
saying
so
behind
much.
The scenes, I'm gonna say they're doing probably a hell of a lot more than we never know. But exactly, they boycotted Indian Wells, for instance,
for like 14 years
exactly. And that was all to do with like, well, yeah, racism.
I think even one moment Serena was even like helping in terms of like getting people out.
So when she came back to Indian Wells, she did it like with a partnership with some equal like criminal justice reform. She used like the platform and the attention to draw like
that is attention. I had no idea about
see,
that.
See, that's what
that's
I'm saying.
See,
that's what I'm saying, is that a lot of these people are complaining.
Yeah.
Don't know shit.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. No, but it's true. It doesn't know anything. And that's what I don't like is that as well. If celebrities come out and say, "I've done this, I've done that," they'll be like, "Oh, you're just doing it for clout."
Yeah.
And then when they're not doing it, they'll complain. I just feel like people just complain just for the sake of complaining. So at the end of the day, if we know the truth, we know what they've done, do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
The fact that Osaka's even out there playing is because of the Williams sisters. So like no one can say anything.
She said it like
and she says it all the time. Yeah. She literally says it all the time. Like she literally says like, listen, like you guys don't understand. You guys can come and try and like pit us against each other, but it's never gonna work because she's the reason why I'm playing today. Like you like it or not. So
I look at it as kind of Serena walked so Osaka could run, and
exactly,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, but 100%.
And it's like a different generation as well with golf as well, and they've grown up on the internet, and they see like the, I mean, on quotes mark, like activism. That, I mean, it's not always kind of, it's not always effective. Or I don't know. It's on the internet. It's a big mixture of things going on. But like they see like the way young people are speaking, and they feel that they can speak that way, whereas, I mean, if you look at when Venus and Serena came on, like no one, you know, that wouldn't happen.
Exactly.
That's true. 100%.
That's the world they you know, they entered in.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. 100%.
No, that's what I said completely. And also, like, just to maybe close on this, but there was a comment someone left. I say someone. It was Amelie on our Instagram.
Right.
So she referenced, I think it was Osaka's interview after her. I think it was after the semi-final against Brady. It was New York Times Cindy Shermer. So she asked Naomi basically if she thinks Serena's doing enough, like in terms of like speaking up on like social justice issues. Like, and I just thought to myself, that is such an out of line of questioning.
Don't be like, asking Serena, what are you doing?
So and this is what I'm saying, and like to bring it back to Osaka again, like in the final, the speech that she gave after the final, the question that she was asked,
like what message are you trying to send?
I just thought to myself, like, that is absolutely.
And then she was just like, what is it? I think at that point, yeah, when Osaka replied, I think in her head what she's trying to say is that, I'm getting sick and tired of you guys asking me this question, because clearly you should know what it is.
Completely.
There was even another time where, was it Chrissy Evert, where she asked that question
about the mask?
Yeah,
no, it wasn't Evert.
Who was it again?
It was Renee Stubbs.
Renee Stubbs, yeah.
You know what? And I love you, Renee. Shocking. I really do. But
shocking.
I just
yeah.
So we are talking about like these are people who died or nearly died.
Like it's a joke.
Like as if it's a, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not a fashion trend. Like, this is not a thing. Like, we're trying to raise awareness here. And her question just shows you how much we still need to raise awareness. Indeed. Do you get what I mean? Because if you knew what it was, you wouldn't ask that. Like, you know what to actually ask. But at the same time, like, I don't want to even focus on them people because,
this is the thing, exactly.
For example, when apparently I saw a video about how in Japan, for example, they were actually talking about it.
Huge, yeah.
And it, apparently one of the quote, like one of the guys was saying, oh, to me, which was the one that was only 12, yeah. He was actually saying, like, he was only 12, I can't believe he actually passed away. So what she's doing actually is working. And even in terms of, even besides the media, there's also the tennis players. So as Azarenka said that, she actually spoke to her or Tsitsipas as well, so that he called her and stuff. And obviously, like, someone like, well, even Eugene was even saying it, like, I don't understand, like, why do you even need to call to even understand what's going on? Like, you should actually know what's going on. Do you get what? Which I definitely agree.
And again, it's not her job, like, to
it really isn't.
Educate.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of, like, Tsitsipas, I don't think he... Like, I mean, a lot of these players are just very tunnel vision. Like, they don't. That's why they don't, because they don't read know much about anything.
Do you know what? To me, that's BS.
No.
To me, it's absolute. No, I'm being so serious. It's actually, I don't understand, because this is something that's been, I feel like, especially this year, like, the Black Lives Matter movement has actually been bigger than it's actually been, because we're actually tired of it. It's been happening for years. So to me, I just find it absolutely crazy how even... Some of them they even live in America. Azarenka has her child is born in America. You want to tell me that you don't know what's going on? Do you get what I mean?
I thought, like, that was weak. That was after the West.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's that some of these people were born and raised there, or like they've been there all their lives. They have black friends. Their favorite rappers are black. Their favorite, probably like the favorite artist or whatever, model or footballer, they're all black. But then when it comes to their actual lives and what's going on, you want to come and tell me you don't know what's going on?
Yeah.
You can't tell me you're not opening Twitter, you're not seeing at least one hashtag, or opening Instagram, you're not seeing at least one hashtag. So for me, that's BS. But at least they called her.
But I think, like, case by case, I agree with you with Azarenka. I think, I mean, there are some people who just don't know much. But I'd say, like, also in terms of about, like, why it's significant for the media, I think she exposed tennis media, to be honest. Like, and how, like, how people talk about race, how people struggle to, how, you know.
It's an uncomfortable, like...
But why is it... I don't think she'd be uncomfortable.
That's what I'm saying. It is, though. And this, I'm saying, Lucy, this is what we're confronting. Do you understand?
Like
a thing now
where... That's what I'm saying, but I don't get it. Like, how can it be...
And that's
like,
why
there's some white people who are literally even scared to say black. Like, they'll be like, they'll try to point out, like, oh, I saw Eugene. I'm like, who's that? I'm like, oh, what's that skin color? Like, they'll say anything. Short, white t-shirt, everything, but they will be scared, especially white British people. Yeah. They'll literally be scared. I'll be like, what's their skin color? Black. It's like, I don't understand, but. It's unfortunate, but shout out to Osaka for doing the thing.
No, it's huge. Like, it's massive.
The good thing about it as well is that I feel like even more people, even people who are not into tennis, like, actually respected her even more as well. And, like, actually saw that, okay, like, tennis in good hands, because a lot of people were a bit scared that, you know, if the Serena, like, the Williams are gone, it's like, who are the black queens are going to take over? But
there's a few. There's a few coming.
There's a few, guys. There's a few. And obviously, if you put your kids into tennis as well, there'll be more.
Big advocate. How far do you lot think she can go? Like, do you think she could win all of them? Like, every Grand Slam? Like, in every surface? I do.
I mean, yeah, I think she could. Like, she still needs to... That's the thing, like, I wrote about her the other day, and, like, because she's won 3 slams. That's, like, more than anyone since Sharapova in 2008.
Mad.
Which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it feels like she's still just, like, at the beginning, because she still has to learn how to play better on grass.
Like, 22.
Yeah. And, like, she's still not really had enough time on clay or grass to really be a factor. So that's going to take some time. And she's also, like... She's won 6 WTA titles, which is, like, nothing. And 3 of them are slams.
When you say that, that is crazy.
And when you look at Azarenka, her breakthrough year, she won 6 titles. So,
That just shows you, yeah.
So,
because the thing is, I was saying to, like, Eugene, I was saying, like, I feel like she's going to win all 4. I just think something like Wimbledon would take more time, for example. Because she's not, like... In terms of, like, grass, like, she even said that she feels like she needs to do, like, more and stuff. But because she's such a great player, I think she can definitely bag all 4 of them.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I do love about her winning this slam as well is that I feel like people can put more respect on her name. Because even on the... I remember the first round. First of all, Sam Smith needs to get fired, because I'm actually tired of her. She was talking so much rubbish during the whole US slam. She annoyed me.
I like Sam. She's got all the, like, the gossip. Like, she's got all the gossip.
Yeah, she does. No, she was disrespecting my faves, and I was getting tired. She was even like, oh, Osaka had, like, a bad year. I was like, She won a slam that year. What more do you guys actually want? She won a slam. And before that, she won another slam. She won a slam back to back. Then she won two more tournaments. And she's currently the highest paid female athlete ever. And you're opening your mouth to come and tell me and tell the rest of the world that she had a horrible year. Fair enough, there were some bits she could have done, you know, like the whole, like there's some bits that, yeah, it was a bit long and stuff. I definitely do agree. But I felt like people kind of forgot how good she was because she had that little bad moment. And that, yeah, that was what was annoying me. It was that I get it, but you look at all other. She's probably like one of the most consistent WTA players at the moment.
Yeah, no, yeah, right now, clearly. Yeah.
It's funny to me like how people like just zoom in on these kind of slumps when not really slumps, but just like periods where players are adjusting.
Yeah.
Like Serena when she won her first slam, she won her first slam in 1999 and her second in 2002.
Yeah.
So. It takes time for that's a lot of people.
That's the thing, yeah. And they don't understand that when they do that, it also puts pressure on them. So it's like, if you're out here talking, how do you even want her to even, like, win it? Which I personally think that's what happened to, like, Stevens, for example.
Okay.
I think it was a thing where she just literally just had, like, too much of that pressure and stuff. Especially that she won it around the time. I think Serena was on a maternity leave at that time.
Yeah,
2017.
Yeah, as far as she was on maternity leave as well. So, you know, it was like, oh, another black player. Like, okay, another American black. Oh, that's the next. You know how they always put Serena's name when it's to see a black player anyways. So I think that was the thing as well. Is that I feel like they get extra pressure to a point where they might just feel like it's just too much. And I think that's what Osaka was getting as well. And that's why now I feel like she's enjoying to play. Like when her first ever match, I literally could see that, like, she was smiling. She was hopping about. And she's got a new coach, which I think that coach is actually working really well. And I forgot that he was actually coaching Azarenka as well.
Yeah.
Twice. I completely forgot about that.
Before the final, he actually said that he thinks Osaka's in a, well, he'll give her the edge because of that, in terms of him knowing
Azarenka's
game.
Yeah, like, game, yeah.
So,
and what's funny is that when Azarenka's new team has now been, like, put together by Patrick.
Yeah. That's so crazy. But who told you that?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, according to the commentators on Amazon Prime.
Well, Sam Smith, your girl.
See, that's not my girl. She needs to go. I don't want to hear her no more.
There's something I was going to say about Osaka, actually. Oh, man, I forgot. That's so annoying. I had it on the tip of my tongue. That's so annoying.
Your brother has to edit that.
But I think to end, like, with Osaka anyway, that's it, sorry. Watching her, like, through this, like, fortnight, the times where she, because she's gone to three sets, I want to say three times, I want to say it's three times.
I think so.
But
yeah.
Literally, every single time, like, she's been down or, like, slightly down, it's never, like, crossed my mind that she's going to lose. Like, and for me, that's, like, I've never felt that way about a player since, like, Serena, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of, like, knowing that, okay, well, they're down now, they're not playing well, but I know they're going to find a way.
Like, yeah.
And I feel that way about Osaka. Yeah. So for me, that's like she's literally got that thing, like, which a lot of these female players do not have.
They don't have,
like,
it, yeah.
Which is mad. So
that's what I'm saying. That's why I was tired when they were disrespecting her name. I was put some respect on her name.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, and as of the semi-final, the men's final, also male players. Like, it's special.
True,
what she has and just her mental strength and the fact that, you know, like, when she's turned on and you see her, like, going through her routines or whatever, you kind of know, like, that she's gonna turn something. She'll find something,
exactly.
Right? She'll get the break back, like, in the final. Because
I said to Lucy as well, like, in during that final versus Azarenka, I said, if she comes through this, but when she comes through this, this will be the biggest victory, like, of her career today. Yeah. I think anyway.
Yeah.
Just because that first set, she
definitely
was like.
I was scared.
She got killed, yeah.
And Azarenka was coming for smoke.
Azarenka was literally, like,
Azarenka
flawless.
And the thing is, Azarenka was a woman. She was even like, I was like, oh, Azarenka, I love you, but stop it. Like, I don't like this. Like, that's the thing as well, is that it was a bit, you know. But now I'm asking, how do you think it would have been if it was actually Serena at the final?
I'm glad it wasn't. Let's just say that.
I'm glad
it wasn't.
When Serena didn't go through the final, I was like, this is the only
good thing.
I can't. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you all said that, because, like, I think any, like, sane person just does not want that to happen. Yeah. The people, yeah.
I was relieved.
It.
I was relieved, honestly.
I was like, you know what, Serena, I was just to get it.
Although I would have said, like, if that was the case, no one really, and it's going to sound corny or cheesy, like no one really would have lost if you really think about it, from our perspective anyway. Mm-hmm. But obviously, yeah, there'll be a winner and loser.
Okay, so who do you think would have won?
Wow, that's tough. That is tough.
Because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say the same thing. I think it would have been very tough for Serena.
I don't know, you know. I don't know.
I think it would have been very tough for Serena. Even though I think the last match they played against each other, Serena did beat her. But I'm telling you, when it comes to Grand Slams, it's different. So, like, Serena's hungry for it, obviously. Osaka, though, I feel like her mindset throughout, ever since she's been back, has just been different. Yeah. And she was playing. I think it would have been the same thing with Azarenka. The first set, probably Serena would have bagged it. And then after that, it would have been Osaka. And it would have been done. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way to end Osaka's segment.
I love you, Osaka.
I do want to end it though on the tweet that she sent. Literally, I want to say it was on Monday. No,
I think it was on
the Sunday. Yeah, so 321 over 300,000 likes basically, wow. And 46,000 retweets. I would like to thank my ancestors because every time I remember their blood runs through my veins, I'm reminded that I cannot lose. Like,
that's a threat to everyone.
Just drop the mic. Like,
by the way, don't you feel like a lot of players actually didn't congratulate her? Or was it only me?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
Compared to other times where someone has won a slam,
yeah.
You see, I always see that players tweets everywhere all over my TL. The only players I saw was like, Stevens, she was very supportive and stuff. Like even I saw in a hell of different comments, but from what I can remember, like top of my, like, I feel like even more celebrities than tennis players were actually congratulating.
That's interesting.
And her followers on IG went up. She was on 1.3. She's currently on 1.6. Listen, she's our superstar now, man. That's it. And that's more money for her. More money, baby. Think she's the highest paid athlete now.
Queen of women's tennis.
Wait till you see her next year. And that's a sign, guys. Put your kids into tennis. Let's get some money.
So on Serena, you know, we kind of touched on her a bit. Like, in terms of, like, where she's at right now, where do you guys see her in terms of... Do you think she still has it, basically? Like, can she still win a slam?
I think she can, but that was just... I mean, it was tough for her. Like, the whole, like, coming back. She, like, when she started back in Lexington as well, like, she just... I think you could see from the beginning that the will was there, but... You know, she was struggling with her timing and her ground strokes and, you know, things just weren't really working. And I felt like my takeaway from the US Open was just that I was impressed by how much she fought and, you know, how badly she was scrapped into that semifinal. She was not playing good tennis. And to see that, like, particularly when there was no crowd, no one there, all of, like, the things you associate with, players associate with, you know, being an athlete. And she was still, like, just on it so many years later. So... I think, like, she if she has the will, like, she's Serena Williams, so... Mm-hmm.
Just the name, but, exactly. Yeah,
but it's also just tough because players... I mean, we saw how Azarenka played, like, some of the best tennis I've ever seen. You know, players now view playing her as an opportunity.
That's what I'm saying. I think now people are going to see her as a threat now. Like, free slams, I bet. Yeah. Now, when they see Osaka, they're going to be like, I need to up my game now.
Yeah, but with, like, Serena, like, they... I don't know, they bring their... best to her a lot of the times.
All the time.
Yeah, and so she has to deal with that and play better. And we'll see if she can. Like, I think a lot of it rests on her serve because, you know, the older she gets, like, there's obviously...
And she already has a very strong serve.
Yeah, but she has to rely on that so much now because she's older and players are maybe faster and they can last longer in rallies.
Although I did see in that first set anyway against Azarenka, like, she was moving. Like,
I was actually teenager. I was like, what is going on? Like, Azarenka came with a different type of smoke, like this whole tournament. But I think just like Osaka as well, I think mentally she was in a better space. Like, you could see that she was enjoying to play as well. And I think she even said it herself. Like, she just wanted to, like, focus and everything. And she was there with her son.
Oh, I'm talking about Serena, though.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about Serena,
like, in terms of her movement. Like, during that first set against Azarenka, I was like, wow. Like, the fact that she can still move like this at, what, 38? She's 38.
One lung and a half.
And all the, exactly, the health stuff she's been through, like, in the past.
That's,
like,
crazy.
So that's why, for me, I still find it very hard to, like, write her off completely. Like, and I can't... It's been tough, like, listening and like, reading certain pieces where basically people are saying, oh, yeah, this is pretty much the end. Like, I just don't, I don't see that.
No.
Like, I can't see that.
They don't see it either. They're just haters.
How do you feel? Like, do you feel, like, when do you think it's going to come? Like, 2024, because it's 23 currently.
I don't know when it's going to come, but I know it's going to come.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about, I feel like, that's what I like about the Williams sisters anyways. I feel like, you see Venus, like, she's still playing. Still, I think they still love what they do. That's the thing. Completely. And with Serena, it's more like, she's hungry for it at the end of the day. And she knows she, like, physically, she knows that she can actually still do it. I personally think it's just more of, like, a mental block type of thing. I've said that from the moment she came back. And it's understandable, but it doesn't help when you have everyone getting at her, telling her, oh, yeah, she's done, or this is it for her. And people also forgetting that she doesn't know what to expect when she get those girls coming in front of her. Because these girls play the best tennis that they play ever.
And they're playing a version of Serena Venus tennis.
Exactly. Like, so it's like, that's the thing. So I think people are forgetting that as well. It's like, you don't, like, some of them will play, like, their best, and then the next tournament, they're playing their worst tennis. And it's like, where's that energy?
Another thing you said there, which I think they don't get enough credit for, like, they genuinely love the sport, which is why they're still doing it at this age.
And that's what I'm saying. When they're out here saying Venus should leave, I'm like, oh, you see, she's 40 and she's having fun. She's having fun. She's coming in, she's playing. And when she loses, she packs her bag and she goes to the next tournament. Someone else would literally give up. Let's actually be honest. They would have given up like years ago. She's still there.
Thanks.
And she's not, and we all know Venus does not get the respect that she actually should be getting, which one day I'll get into my bag for that.
I did love some of your tweets actually, Tamani, during, I think it was Lexington, because that's when she came with a new serve. And I think it's forehand as well. Yeah. She switched up the forehand. Like, you gave such a detailed, like, breakdown of it. I was like, I really respect that. Yeah. So, it's
and how many players can do that at that age?
This is what I'm saying. And how many players are willing to do that at her at that age? Exactly. Yeah.
And you would come and disrespect her.
Yeah. And it's just, like, I mean, with Venus, it's hard to tell even if it will work. But the fact that she was willing to, she's still, like, so keen to improve and change is just impressive.
100%.
And I'd say, like, back on Serena, like, I'm kind of just over the whole 24, like, narrative.
I hear that. Every
Grand Slam, like, oh, you know, her quest for 24 begin. I'm just, it's not even fun. It's just not fun. And like, for me, like, I took away that she had a pretty good tournament.
You know, 100%.
With a lot of people, it's just either she wins a title or it's a failure. Yeah. But she fought hard into that semi. She won matches. She came up against a player who is an amazing player, who played some of her best tennis. And
most informed player, like, arguably, yeah.
And so, like, that's for me, I think that's good. Like, that probably encouraged me more than, like, I mean, in January when she lost in Australia. Yeah. Like, as you said, she was moving. Like, she was still moving really well. And
I feel like the more she plays, like, the better, like, she's like, I feel like each time she just proves herself, like, she's actually moving better and better and better. Like, if you actually look at from her first matches after she gave birth, till now, you can literally see that she's gradually getting better in terms of, like,
there's been improvements.
Yeah, it's just improvements. That's why I always said it's more of like a, you know, like a
mental
thing. But it's just annoying because, like you said, like, the whole 24 thing is annoying because people are making it seem like with that at 24 she's not like the goat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, are you sick?
Yeah.
Like, 24, not 24. Fun, like, no, she is actually, like, one of she's the greatest, like, in my eyes. Like, do you get what I mean? So it's like, it's annoying. They're trying to do it as if that's to prove who she is. And it's like, Serena's have to prove shit to anyone. Yeah. She actually doesn't. She really doesn't.
Yeah. I think, like, these are the final years of her career, clearly.
Mm.
And same with, like, I don't know. But same with the big three. Like, I'd rather, like, just kind of appreciate what they're doing and watch them, not be just watching the numbers. That's just not interesting.
But I don't think they do that with Serena at all.
That's a great point. Because
I said that. That's true.
As time goes by, like, as more of these matches come
just
and go, watching her, I just appreciate it even more because it's like, we don't know how long this is going to be.
Fam, they're going to come in that press conference. Do you know I was crying when Andy said that he was meant to be retiring, like, last year?
Yeah, I got everybody.
Like, I was actually crying. I remember I was in Senegal as well, funny enough, because that was like Australian Open. Like, I was in Senegal and I was literally crying. I was like, yeah, this guy can't go. I said, that's not happening. Like, not now. And now look, you know. And this is Blackspin Global, but guys, this is also, you know, I'm British,
Andy Murray,
innit?
Andy Murray.
Final thing, just like with Serena as well, like, my memory is of that tournament for her is against Pironkova when she hit two left-handed
forehands.
Oh, wow. Oh, right?
Look at the flick of the wrist.
No! Do you know how sick that was?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I was like, woo! Yeah. Twice. So she did it again twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just,
it's like, see?
Yeah, it just shows like the desire and like.
Exactly.
You should, like, you should, I think with her, or whether it's with all the other like greats, like, that's what you should be appreciating.
Yeah. Exactly.
One day you're not going to watch that.
You're not going to watch that.
One day it's just going to be Zverev versus team.
Listen, we're not talking about, this is the black spin.
This is African people live only. African people live only.
No.
But yeah, we'll, I
get to
what
that.
You mean.
But that's
definitely
a fantastic point, Tamini. Also as well, like this year, so it was Ava Wallace from the Washington Post that wrote a piece about the amount of black women competitors at this year's US Open. So I think there were 12 American women.
Yeah. Shout out to Ava, by the way.
Yeah. Like
black female.
Facts. And it was so good. Like, and we'll get to this later on, but like, so good, like, seeing her like ask the questions like on the video board, like, which we'll talk about later on. But yeah, on that, so the fact that there are so many like young black American women coming through, it's literally testament to Venus and Serena. Like, for me anyway, like, I was obviously paying attention to like the debutante. So it was Hayley Baptiste, who's 18. She played Melendanovic, and she lost in straight sets, but the first set was like, it was very tight, back and forth. I think it went to 7-5. I think she lost it in the end.
It was like 7-5, 6-1.
So yeah, exactly. And then there was also Katrina Scott, who's 16. So she actually won her first round match and then lost in the second round to Anisimova.
Yeah.
But again, that match was like up and down. She came through in the end. But like, for me, they impressed the most. I know there was also Robin Montgomery, which we've spoken about in the past as well. She lost to Putintseva. And that was like fairly straightforward, but just so exciting to see. Like,
yeah. To be fair, if you think about it, they all had proper like, they were playing against people who were already like more experienced
completely,
and stuff.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
So, but shout out to them for like definitely. It's nice to see.
This is what I'm saying. So, and for Katrina Scott to actually get a win, that was her debut like WTA event.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's a slam, and she won a match.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the money too much, but I mean that's gonna do the bank balance. A world of good.
Benjamin's
so
baby.
Fair play. But yeah, again, like, it's just so exciting to see. Like, I don't know how you kind of felt like seeing that, because obviously each tournament that comes out, like, the draw is something I look at first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then to see the amount of black players, I'm like, it's incredible. So yeah, like, if you can talk on that a bit,
like you mean in general, like,
just in general.
I mean, yes, I mean as we talked about the last time, I got into tennis because of the Williams sisters,
because they were
already kind of leading when I started properly watching tennis, and so just to see like the effect it's had on everyone, and to see the amount of black players there, and to see like the way they support each other, and the way you know, like with Katrina Scott and Robin Montgomery, they're best friends, and
Nice.
That's nice.
And like, I mean, and just in general, like, you know, when Naomi did the, you know, started doing the Masters, and also the Western Southern Open Cincinnati, like, you saw Sloane Stephens jumping in her, you know, in her Instagram, like, as you said, Sloane kind of congratulated her. And
she was active on, like, even I remember even Complex Sports, like, they posted something, I saw Sloane like commenting, and even on Twitter, like, she was really like supporting.
And I don't think they know each other like that. But just like, it's the more, you know, black players that are there, the more they see each other, and you know, and I think there's just like a kind of, you know,
I think even with everything going on, I think kind of brought them like even like closer, like in a way, like all the black players and stuff. And I really hope like that's something that just, you know, I think they should have like a barbecue or something.
So I think you saw, I spoke to Zena Garrison. And one of the things like that didn't make the piece was that she said like back in the day, you know, at Wimbledon, all the black players would always have
like a
not
cookout,
but like, yeah, like not ways. Maybe not like a barbecue, but like in they'd all come and
come together.
You'd see like Richard Williams, and you'd see like the one black photographer, all of these people would just be around.
How on earth did that not make the piece?
it's a word limit, but yeah, it was, that was like the one of the coolest things, like, that she was talking about. Yeah. And so it would be cool to just see that, like, that to see players come together. Like, next time, like, Osaka wants to make a statement or to, you know, to do more activism, to see other players coordinating.
Mm-hmm.
And,
like, a collaborative thing.
You know,
yeah.
That would be cool.
Definitely.
And
sorry, no, go on.
I was just going to say, in regards to Katrina Scott, so, like, I'd known about her because I for the ITF, I did a, like, under-14s Fed Cup kind of event. Okay. Like 2 years ago, and both she and Robin Montgomery were there.
Because you interviewed Montgomery.
Yeah,
yeah, that was for the ITF. Because I read that piece.
I think that was like the next year at Wimbledon.
Oh, okay.
But because I was just like keeping an eye, I'd seen them once, and I was curious. So to see like Scott just in 2 years to be like at this level is
because her game looks really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for someone so young, like she's got a lot of like weapons already, and like she's 16, so that's only gonna like develop even more.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So no, definitely exciting. Like on the men's side though, it does kind of make you feel like, hang on a minute, like where are they? Because in the main draw anyway, there were like four.
Yeah.
So TFO was the only American, well, black American man. Felix Auger-Aliassime, obviously Canadian. Michael Moe was also in the singles draw, American. And Mikael Jimmer, the Swede.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's four as opposed to what 13 women. Like, I still don't know why there's such a huge like gap.
But there's no male Williams sister, no.
Like, what do you think? The lack of like representation for like.
Yeah,
black men?
I think that. I mean, with the women, it's mostly down to that. It's like Madison Keys saw Venus Williams dress one day and decided to play tennis.
Mm.
Osaka and
the
Garth modeled their careers.
She practiced with Serena doing before the US Open, and she even said on her IG post how she had like a poster of Serena Williams, and now she's out here practicing with her. But I never thought of it like that. I never thought of it of like that, they don't have someone to really look up to for them.
Yeah. But I think a lot of those ones are like very direct. And like you see how Monfils, like I've realized like in recent years just how much younger players look up to him and black players and how people gravitate towards him.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a black player who was to win and who was charismatic and who people outside of the sport, you know, look towards, then there'd be more black players.
It just shows to you how much that representation's actually matters because it's true, because it's like, and it just shows to you again how much of the Williams like legacy has to do in tennis and also for women in tennis, because if we did have like someone like the men's, it would definitely would have made. I never thought of it like that, to be honest. I just saw it as like, damn, men don't want to play tennis. Like black men just want to play tennis. That way it is. Like what's going on? But now that you said it, it's actually definitely true.
Because Monfils was inspired by Yannick Noah. That's his.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know who I'm going to say though is going to be that guy on the black side.
Felix.
Exactly. Felix is coming, man. I'm telling you.
You know what? I don't disagree
Felix
with that.
Felix
Auger-Aliassime. What do you think of Felix?
I think he's a really talented player, and it's been obvious, and everyone rates him. I do think we should just like chill, but that's with everyone. Like just in general with the younger players. Like
definitely.
You know, like you'll see like people. Like, how many slams is Felix going to win? Is it going to be...
A bit like with Coco, for example.
Yeah. But even worse, I think, because of the big three, like, I think they've just warped all our, like, expectations and perceptions of what's kind of, you know, of what is a great career or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, will he win 10 slams? I mean, come on. You know? So I think, you know, we'll see how he develops. Like, this tournament was both great and I think kind of... Well, it was great in the sense that he played amazing and won some of the best tennis of his life.
That's the first time he's got to the second slam.
Exactly. And he killed Murray.
Can you imagine? And we're talking about a goal right here. Like we're talking about Andy Murray. Do you get what I mean? And that was when he did that. I was like, "Raw, like that's big. That's probably like one of his biggest wins."
I think Greg Rosetsky said it, and you alluded to this a few days ago, saying, "Oh, like tennis commentators are like the most annoying.
They're actually the most annoying people.
They just exaggerate
on earth,
and like
fam.
Just hype nothing. Every.
to me, Nicole, you know, to me is an industry we understand, but I, Lucy, is saying you people are annoying. You need to relax. Enjoy the game. No, I wish we could have an option to be like switch off commentators and just watch the thing because you guys are just chatting rubbish.
It's
just
easy
rubbish.
To get caught up in it though, like because yeah, what you get so like enthralled by like what you're seeing, like you just come off with like these crazy.
For
me, it's easily done. It's easily done. But yeah, Greg Rozetsky said that Felix Murray match was probably the best tennis Felix has ever played in his life. Which I mean,
do you think so? I think.
He said like 20 aces or something. Something stupid. Like,
I would say that's definitely his biggest one. Probably have to watch some of his other matches to see. But then again, we're talking about, and you have to play like proper hard. You have to play, you know.
But then it's Murray was coming off the back of the Nishioka five setter, and I completely forgot about that. When
that's true,
yeah. So I thought, oh yeah, Murray's he's probably gonna win.
He got two metal hips too.
But then when I saw he was playing Felix, I was like, oh, hang on a minute, yeah, Felix is probably gonna take that in four. Like, but
yeah, I was a bit scared because Murray was another person who came in and to be honest, like he shocked me. Like from the first, like the other tournament, like the tournament before US Open, like he was already playing so well.
Beat Sasha.
Yeah,
beat TFO as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all of these games, like I was like, wait, what's happening? This new hip is actually doing something. Like, what's going on? Yeah, new hip, who this? That's what I tweeted. I was like, raw, like, okay. Yeah. So, I actually, to be very honest, like, I remember you were saying that, yeah, Felix is going to win. And I was like, I don't know. Like, we're talking about Andy here. Like, I'm not too sure. And I thought maybe Felix would get a bit nervous because obviously you're playing like a big player. Like,
first time on Ash as well, which is huge.
Exactly. Mm. And I wish the crowd was there. Oh,
no. Yeah.
But time will come.
Yeah. But with Felix, there's the good stuff, and then obviously when he lost the team, like that was tough. That was not a good.
Do you not think though that's like team? And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that defeat because for me, it just shows the level, like in terms of when team is playing well anyway. Like the guy is a joke.
Yeah,
like he's literally unplayable.
Yeah.
So,
but I do think like I don't know. I just felt like he kind of like he was close for a set and did well, and then he kind of just. Ran out of ideas.
I hear what you mean. Like, so mentally, like, he kind of maybe checked out a bit.
Not even checked out, just I feel like he ran out of ideas. Like, he kind of, you know, at some because of team's level, obviously, but at some point he just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I prefer seeing him lose to team than another, like, smaller player. Do you get what
I
mean?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a step, like, a big step forward to make the second one.
But it just shows to you how far he's definitely going to be going.
What about TFO as well? Because, again, that was his first time reaching the fourth round at the US Open because he got to the quarters in Australia the year before. But I think, again, it's a big step, like, in terms of improvement. And we had Zach on the pod a few weeks ago, and I was like messaging him like in between matches, and I just said, listen,
coach guys, by the way,
indeed, got a bit of relationship with Zach now, shouts out to Zach. But I just said, yeah, like it's been really good, like watching the progress, and like I think there's a lot to build on, like from this experience at the US Open. Like I don't know what you guys think in terms of like where
do you know what I personally think if there was a crowd that match I think he would have won.
It's a huge
I think it would, because it was a big match.
Are you talking about Medvedev?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You think he would have beat Medvedev with a crowd?
The crowd don't like meds. And TFO is American. And the US Open people, they ghetto as hell. They would have gone crazy. Okay, maybe, either it would have been a thing where, okay, maybe winning is too much, maybe.
It would have been
tough. But it would have been tough. It would have been harder for Med. But at the same time, Med knows the crowd don't like him there. So I think, remember
but
that.
He likes it.
Yeah. I remember last time, what did he say? He was like, just remember that when you go to bed, that I won because of you. Yeah. I love Med. Like, he's something else. Yeah. I love him. But I think that match would have been one of the best if the crowd was there. 100%.
Yeah, it could have been better.
To be honest, I kind of blocked like the whole crowd thing, but that match was the only match I was like, I actually wish the crowd was there. I think it would have been just insane.
I do think like it's also because he also kind of started okay and then just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah,
I think
some of the matches.
Yeah, I think like maybe if there was a crowd and that you 100%. Get a second win, right? They
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so maybe
he
wouldn't have won, but yeah. it would have been like something. Yeah, exactly. It would have been completely different. It would have been completely different.
But I do. I mean, with Tiafoe, he had a great tournament, and I watched his. I mean, I watched most of his matches, and I think his match against Fucsovics was probably one of the best matches he's played in his life.
He said that would be the best he's played.
And I think he's like with his he's now working with Zach Everton and Wayne Ferreira. Exactly. And I think that seems to be going really well.
Because Wayne brings like the experience of like being at the top of the game, whereas Zach is like the his like go to in terms of like being the I don't know, like the G up guy, and like, do you get me that relationship, that friendship they have? It's it all kind of works like quite well. So for me, like just watching it from, like I said, the Blackspin's perspective, it's exciting because it's literally always been on the men's side anyway. Monfils and Songa, like they're the, mainly now Monfils. Songa's kind of fallen off of injuries, just really Monfils. Whereas now it's like, wow, we've actually got two other guys now that can.
And Tiafoe is actually young as well. How old is he? Like 22.
He's 97. I
want to say 22.
He actually looks so much older as well.
Phoenix is really?
I think he looks older. I think Americans just look older, to be honest, older than their age.
Hey, we got a lot of American listeners, so.
You know, I love y'all. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all, man. But I'm just saying,
she's
y'all. I don't know.
Calling you older.
I ain't calling y'all older.
Calling you corpses.
Nah, I ain't doing none of that. You know what I'm saying, man?
Eugene has left the room.
I actually do think. Then again, that's even only 1 year older than me. But yeah, I think he does look a bit older. But shout out to Tiafoe and Americans.
But no, it's exciting times, man. Like, and I think. We'll talk about our overall thoughts about the US Open, but I do want to touch on Novak Djokovic, the default situation. Like, because I was not when I first saw, because I was watching the match, I wasn't really paying that much attention to it. But then when I saw, hang on a minute, what's the like pause and like the commotion? I was like, oh, okay, and then like checked in again, and then to see, I was like, there's no way they're gonna like default this. Like, they can't. Number one seed, number one player in the world. Like,
oh, so you thought he would still be able to
play? I thought they were going to just say, listen, maybe something stupid, like, oh, we're going to give Karina Buster, that was, we're going to give him the first set or something. But, and you're going to start from, like, a free love deficit. I don't know, something stupid, but I did not think they were going to default Djokovic. So when they actually said, oh, wow, like, yeah, he's been defaulted, I was like, I don't know, what were your thoughts?
As soon as I saw like it hit the neck, I thought it was done.
It was a wrap.
Yeah, because like in general terms, even without like looking at the rules, like if you hit someone and it not hurts them, but just like causes them discomfort, I think it's over. Like they're normally gonna pull the plug. So I was actually live blogging on the Guardian when it happened. I just thought it's gonna be like a regular night, you know.
That's probably the first time Serena's like, oh yeah, I'm loving this. Yeah. Are we blogging tonight?
But like it was wild because like this happened and I was just like that's done. Yeah. And then on Amazon Prime they just started going to all the other like courts. Okay. So like they thought it was a break or something, so they're just like, you know, I forgot who was playing, but they're like, Kvitova's in the final, and I was just like, you need to turn back right now, you know, like this is like the biggest thing. and I could tell, like, I think the comment, I can't remember who it was, but one of the commentators who was doing it, you could tell like he didn't want to be doing this. He wanted to know what was happening on the court. I thought like,
wow, fair enough.
It's funny because I don't think I was watching that match, actually. I think I was at the gym and I just put up my phone and I just started laughing because I remember saying, I was like, I even said it earlier, even today, I'm like, listen, I don't know, but I feel like this US Open is going to be a mess. Because
you did call it.
Yeah. I did say it. I was like, because I felt like it's either a mess or we're just going to see something that we're not going to expect because of everything that's going on, you know, like pandemic and everything, like everyone coming back. I just felt like, it's not going to be like the usual, but I did not expect that. Like, that was something I was just like, oh, that is something that I did not just, you know, expect and stuff. I did say that I did think someone else might win the US Open.
On the men's side.
Besides the big threes. I think you did say. I felt like this is... I remember I was saying, I was getting into the ATP. I was like, listen, you guys have a chance right now. Get Novak out of here and get your slam and keep it pushing. But when I saw that, I was like... I felt it was a bit harsh.
Did either of you feel sorry for him?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I did. Honestly, as much as I've been trolling him for a while and calling him Djokovic, I do feel like it was a little bit harsh, though. Because it wasn't done on... He wasn't even... Like, he just did like this. Like, it wasn't
even looking, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't even looking. And when that happened, you could see his eyes were open like this, like he had crack. Like, literally, it was just like that. Like, he was just like, oh my... I think at that moment, he said, oh yeah, I'm out of here.
He knew. He argued, like, for... Yeah. I mean, that for was a good while. 10... That was a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think, like, yeah, like, he knew. Like, and yeah, because, like, actually... In the recent times, it's actually been black players. Like you saw Michael Moreau did it.
Of course, yeah.
It was
an ITF event, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. He was challenger. ATP challenger, yeah. And he, like, I think he, I can't remember, he threw his racket or something.
I think he threw the racket.
And it hit the lines person.
Yeah, and that really, that tore him up, he said.
And like, he was playing against Darian King, who, like, I mean, you should, like, see the video where King was just like shocked and King had done it happened to King as well like the same place a couple
some
years
some
earlier
jinxed.
So like, you know, like if you hit someone in some ways and if you hurt them, even if it's just like a cut, like
any kind of done. Physical contact.
So I think it was the right decision, but also
that's the thing.
I get it,
it's like the rule and everything, but at the same time it was a bit like come on, like, it wasn't... Do you get what... Like, to so me, I was more like in a 50, like, 50-50.
We're all feeling sorry.
No, we are feeling sorry, definitely. Like, the way that she, you know, like, even with her, like, it could have been worse. Do you get what... Like, that's a tennis ball that we're talking about. Do you get what I mean? But at the same time, I was just like, oh, come on, man, like, let's just get to it. But it's where it is, Novak, you know, bye. Like, you had to go. But, you know, I didn't really like his behaviour when it just happened. But then again...
Technically...
No, go on. He was actually, like, he was saying how she's not that injured, like it's not bad, like it was really like he was honestly on smoke. But then obviously he came back and then he proper apologized. Like, even now recently he even said like he took full accountability, like, listen, yeah, I messed up, blah blah blah, even though I'm pretty sure it's more of like a PR thing. But at the same time, I understand. If I was in his shoes as well, I'd probably be like, come on, like, allow me, like,
because
get
this
what
is
I mean.
This is, I was gonna say, technically he's still undefeated this year. I mean, it counts as a loss, but going into the US Open, he won every match. That was what he was like pleading, I think, because I said he was gonna win the whole thing before this whole thing.
Oh yeah, you said it. Yeah, I was saying someone needs to kick him out.
So, yeah, but listen, he'll live and learn, innit? Like.
That means ATP players get ready. Novak is looking for smoke. He is coming. Yeah, like,
extra motivation.
Is he playing for Rome, right? He's playing for Rome, right? Yeah, Rome French Open is over for you people. Like, he is coming for smoke right now.
But, so, and I will say, like, kind of, obviously, he had just the crazy... It was, like, the climax of the craziest summer of all time. And I think I try and separate, like, I think he deserves criticism for Adriaton and all that stuff.
Yeah,
we
100%.
Won't get into that because that's just opening a box of nonsense. But, like... With this, like, you know, I think, like, in the past, he'd hit the ball out and, you know, he'd been close to doing it before. Yeah. And so...
And so many, like, think pieces came out. He's had a temper for years and, like, it's not new. And, I mean...
So on one hand, I think, like, he should have been wary of that from before. At the same time, I mean, he obviously wasn't trying to hurt the person.
That's my thing. Yeah. Like, it's not like he actually did. Like, he wasn't. Yeah,
it wasn't malicious.
Even when you look at the video, he literally wasn't even looking. He literally just went like that. Like, he was just like, you know. But what was annoying is, like, it's not like he was on his finals. It was actually like the first set.
Yeah.
Like the first set.
Just because he literally just been broken. That's why he hit that ball in frustration. Like, it's unfortunate, man. So you're gonna.
I can't remember what I was going to say.
No,
it's good. Oh, no, I was going to say about the apology. So, I mean, we live in a world of notes app apology.
I feel not deserving an award. Like, honestly, like,
So, like, even though it may have been PR, like, PRs can't apologise. They're very bad at it. So, like, fair enough to him. Like, I think he, like, the first apology, like, he took, he took ownership and accountability. And then, while we're speaking, he just spoke to the media.
Yeah. And even before that, he came in a little bit because his fans were acting like bloody lunatics. The Lions person, like, attacking her on her IG. Like, they were actually acting like brainless maniac. And he literally, like, came and, like, you know, like, it's not her fault, blah, blah, blah. I was saying to Eugene in the car, like, listen, if I was her, I'm trying to get some money out of this. Like, do you get what I mean? If that ball just even hit me just a little bit, just be like, I can't see, I can't touch, I can't feel. Get so, some money. But at least she's alive and he's good.
Staying with the men. So, you know, we all know, obviously, now it's the Dominic team's the champion. But I don't want to spend too much time talking about like the final,
because
it wasn't. It's not even that. Like, for me anyway, the men's draw, like, really underwhelmed. Like, for me in general, like, I don't know how you guys.
The women took over.
Especially those semi-finals for the women. Yeah. Like, unreal. Like, but just in terms of like, yeah, where men's tennis is right now, it just makes you think like, wow, when the big three are gone, like, what are we left with? Like, in terms of who's the next one? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, no one really wants it. Like, I don't know what you guys think.
But I think unfortunately, it will take for the big threes to go for us to know, okay, what's going to happen. Because when it comes to slam, they've been the one that's been taking them all.
Yeah, that's true.
So that is why I was really happy about Novak being the only one that was here, because I was thinking, okay, this gives an opportunity for us to see like who is going to be, you know, coming. Like, I said it from the beginning, I always said that team is going to be the first one to win a slam. And I felt that's why I was rooting for him. Like, I felt like he deserved it, because he was hungry for that. I felt like he needed that.
Long time coming.
Yeah, long time coming, yeah. But I think we won't know till the big threes are gone, and then someone, or unless someone beats the big threes, which I don't know when that's going to happen, when it comes to the slam finals. Like, obviously, different matches, yeah. When it comes to the slam finals, I feel that's when we'll know a little bit.
Who is your pick for the men's at the start of the tournament?
Djokovic.
It was easily. Okay. Yeah.
But I feel like for me, I think it is and should be like almost a wake up call, just in terms of like what the big three have done for so long. Like, that's just completely abnormal.
Yeah.
And like, there are like these players coming up, they're talented players, like, they're good.
That's true.
But that doesn't mean that they're just going to be really consistent.
Yeah.
And that they're just going to, you know,
that's
pick
the word,
up where
consistent,
they're
left. Exactly.
And so, yeah, like, you can be good one, you know, 2 weeks, or, you know, a few times a year, or even like fairly regularly. But like, to do what the other players have, what the big three have done, is just,
it's really true.
So, like, you know, you saw like the nerves and the fact that, you know, as soon as Djokovic went out, like, Zverev was playing with that crazy pressure. And I mean, those, you know, I was, like, on one hand, I found it impressive, is just his determination and the fact that he got through them.
Mm-hmm.
But those matches were ugly as...
I was going to... I said to Lucy in the car, there's something I'm going to call you out on, Tamani, actually. Because...
oh, wow.
After the final yesterday, I think you said that Zverev choked.
I said he bottled it.
Bottled, that's it. I was like, I was like, that is so harsh. Like,
no,
consider,
because
I said to Lucy, like, this is literally his first ever Grand Slam final, whereas team, it was his fourth, and obviously he went on to win. Like, so for me, it's like the pressure, like, is much more, I don't want to say justified, but like, I can understand Zverev kind of having that kind of like, oh my God, like, this is a Grand Slam final, and I'm like literally a set away from winning. Like, I can much more understand that than I can understand someone like Dominic Thiem, who's been there three times before, and yeah, like, just came out, and he said it after the match, like, yeah, he was just nervous from literally the morning he woke up. Like, so I did think it was a bit harsh to say, like, he bottled it. Like,
but I think, like, when I say that, I don't mean like it critically. I just mean like, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it.
But that's
fine. Like, he's young.
Because
like,
I didn't realize. Sorry to cut you, but I didn't realize how young he was. I thought he was like 25. Like, he's 23.
Yeah.
Like, he's still very young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I think like he'll have other chances. He has a lot to work on with his second serve.
Yeah.
But like, I do think I stand by.
Yeah.
I think in terms of like, yeah, it was his first experience, and like, the way he started, like, he handled that well in the beginning and all of that stuff.
No, definitely.
But like, in the final set, like, you know, team was willed to him.
Oh,
like,
man,
physically,
it was mad. It was crazy to watch.
When it was going the first two sets, I was like, there's no way team is actually doing this to me. Like, are you in? I was like, there's no way this guy's gonna win in straight sets. I was like, you can't do this. But I definitely agree with him. Like, literally, when that was done, I was literally like, if I was him, I would actually like get some crack after that match. How can you? No, I'll be stressed. Can you actually imagine? He was very close. He was very, very close. But the one thing though, I do hope that mentally, like, he gets through, doesn't let that get into him. Like,
I don't think it will. I think it's part and parcel of being a professional. Like, you're gonna have moments where you're like literally low, and then
yeah, you're going to have highs. Like, and this is obviously a very low point. I don't want to say it's a low point. It's a Grand Slam final, for God's sake. Yeah, he crumbled or fumbled or whatever you like to say.
Bottled it.
Yeah, he did. Like, but to say exactly, yeah, he'll get he back there. Like, so
that's the thing. Most of these players that we're talking about are doing all good. They're so young.
This is what I'm saying.
That's
man.
The best
it's
thing
only
about
a
it.
Matter
like,
of time.
They,
but
they're young.
I will say, and to me, you've like raised this a few times. Like, it's so important to realize and like appreciate the greatness of the big three, and like
100%, that's
Serena as well, like on the women's side, like, because it just shows like the it's not just all about hitting ground strokes. Mm-mm. Like, mentally, these guys, they're guys and Serena, they are literally on a different
level
completely. So yeah, it's just something we need to really appreciate.
100%, that's why I just like what, like, for example, Federer, I enjoyed it even more, like, last year, because he was playing, like, he went back to clay, for example. That, for example, I was scared. I was like, this guy's retiring soon. If he's playing for clay, like, do you get what I mean? Like, so many of the tournaments that he was playing, he didn't play for years.
Mm.
But it's like, this is the time to take all of this in, because you just never know, like, these people are going to go, and it's like, we don't have that.
Overall thoughts on like the US Open in terms of like being in this bubble and like, yeah, no fans. Like, what did you guys make of it, like, as a spectacle?
You go.
Do you know what? First of all, I actually do need to apologize because
I respect that.
Because I actually was one of the people that were like, cancel US Open, like, cancel the whole season, cancel the whole tennis. You know, there's COVID, we should not be playing, da 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 da. But guess who was up nearly every night? And now my sleeping patterns are actually fucked because I was out here watching US Open. So I will take full accountability. I think they really pulled it off with everything that's going on. I'm not going to lie. Yes, there was that little issue, a little bit, with some of the players who had to like,
oh yeah, the French 11 or something.
Perry 11.
Yeah, there was that. But you think about it, it's not, the situation that they were in was not easy at all. Do you get what I mean? So the fact that they managed to pull it off, like, I think it was really, really good. One thing that I loved the most was seeing players watching other players.
Oh man, yeah, that's like, one of the highlights.
Like, I think that was really dope. Yeah, like, yeah, I think that was really, really cool to see.
From
I felt, I don't know, like, a side of me wanted to be in a bubble. I was like, I want to, like, can I, like, you know, like, it seemed cool. I just have, like, you know, everyone just little, like, together and stuff. But it was weird in terms of the fans. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, depending on the matches, like, for example, like, when the semi-finals were happening, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I'm so into it, I didn't even think about the crowd.
Exactly.
But there were certain matches, like the Tiafo versus Med, I was like, yo, if there was a crowd, it would have been great. But
fair enough.
Shout out to the US Open. Like, you guys, I always call you guys ghetto as hell. But I think I was, as a tennis fan, I was actually satisfied.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
What about you, Tamin? Yes. And also as a journalist covering it, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought, it went well, and I mean the Perry 11 thing was that was annoying for me, just because, like, I mean, I thought they should, as soon as, like, there's a negative, you know, they call it their enhanced protocol,
where they
allowed the players to play, you know,
kind of switch up the rules at the last minute.
Yeah, exactly. That's
much
what they did, and then they got caught out by another county. That it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's just great.
It's so mad.
So they did it in New York City, and then the Nassau County, which is where the hotel was, they said, "Nah, the players have got to stay in the hotel." So, like,
held hostage.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
So, like, no, I think, like, if it, going forward, like, and I'm sure we'll see, like, this, something like this again. I think if a player comes into contact with someone,
that's it.
You have to, because if we're going to work and we can't come into contact with someone, we have to.
That's
you
true.
Know,
exactly. Yeah, this is a deadly virus.
Yeah, I think, like, the general, like, I thought that, like, tennis players are special and should be treated special, like, needs to be, you know, stopped.
I've been saying I've been saying it.
I think for a pandemic, like, religion, we're all on the same.
Because the thing is, we need to remember as well, some of these players, sometimes they were bringing in, like, their friends and their families.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes Serena had her daughter there, Azarenka had her son there. Do you get what I mean? Like, Vickery had her best friend there, like, so it was definitely something that they needed to, you know, like, take very seriously.
But in terms of, like, the overall tennis, I was also satisfied, and, like, as I said, with Serena, just seeing her without a crowd and all of that, you know, kind of safety blanket, and just seeing her or seeing other players just, you know, in the zone still. Yeah. That was impressive.
That's, for me, that's been the most, and the players watching each other as well. That was one of the highlights for me. But yeah, the main one was like the level, like of the play. Like the matches I watched anyway, I can't say any of them were bad matches. Mm. Like they were all to really good standard. Mm-hmm. Maybe performance or levels dropped off a bit, but for the most part, like it was tennis played at a really good standard, considering like they're coming off like a 6 month.
Yeah, because some of these players, like, they didn't play for a while. I think Kerber, for example, she didn't play any tournament. She just hopped off the plane and went to...
I think she played an exhibition in Germany, I think. But I was like...
But that was even like months before the US Open anyways. She didn't go to anywhere else. But I think she got what? She got out of like second round?
Fourth round. To Brady. So, yeah.
Of course.
Big tennis. Yeah. So, but see, that's... big tennis.
I love that
but,
term.
But yeah, it just shows, and that goes back to my point, is that you just never know what to expect, because when Kerber and Ash just come to US Open, but she didn't play anything, I was like, oh, this girl's going to be out on the first round. And she was there to like the fourth round. So I think it was, Eugene actually did make a tweet about how like, he was like, oh, these players are out here on their phone instead of watching them. He was just so annoyed. I was dead.
I can't stand that, man.
But it was nice. Yeah. I think it was good having tennis Twitter back as well. I enjoyed it. I actually did enjoy it. Now I have to fix my sleeping pattern.
I think just before we close on the US Open, to me, like, as a journalist, you were covering it in terms of for The Guardian, obviously. So that experience of like interviewing players via Zoom, how was that? Like, talk us through that.
I mean, it's very weird. Like in terms of like interviews, like one-on-ones, that like you saw the videos of the main room, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you're speaking to one person or something, they'd put you in like these like hot, you know, like really the camera was terrible. You could barely like hear each other, you know. And that's not, I'm not even criticizing them really, but it's just like, you know, trying to do that from so long. Long distance and stuff is just weird and strange. And like, in general, like when covering tournaments, I always feel like when I go to a tournament, or even when I'm at Wimbledon, like you get into kind of a zone for like, you're, you know, everything's about the tournament, like you're there, and so you look up and the match is going on, or you're in the interview room, so you hear like someone's gone to a press conference. So doing it from home, like,
was weird.
It's just, yeah, it's not the same just being in your bedroom and like having to, you know, your focus can
the
waver
vibe
a bit.
Different.
Yeah, it's just it's not the same. And it was fine in the end. Like, the press conferences, you know, it survived. I guess I survived. Yeah. But like, I don't know. It's weird as well. Like, I was telling you before, like an example of like the weird thing is normally like at a press conference, if you ask a question. And you want, like, you want to follow up, right? You want to say, ask another question, like, to clarify something.
Yeah.
Whereas on Zoom, they mute you. So
you can't even follow up.
And they're always like, only one question because we need to hurry up, because it takes like 30 seconds to get from one person to another. So it's just like, yeah, it's just different. And I mean, it is what it is now.
Also live blogging as well, because you're live blogging a few, or was it most days, or
some of them, like I'd say about the third maybe,
because I live blogged Murray Nishioka
yeah
and that was like my first time ever doing it, and it's tough,
it's
like,
hard, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's not easy. So to see, because I looked over some of yours beforehand, I was like, yeah, let me just get a feel for like what to do, basically
look at someone else's,
and pretty much. But yeah, yours are incredible, like so detailed, in depth, like you drop tweets in there from like different places, like it's a real skill, basically. Like, so yeah, again, like, talk about that, doing that from home as opposed to in the office, like,
yeah, it's I don't know, it's just, I just feel like you have to be extra focused, or you won't be at all, because I find it okay, just like as I told you on the last time, like when I started writing, I was doing live blogs for Eurosport.
Of course,
so that's
what
when I came to The Guardian and I realized that that's what they valued. Like, I was lucky because I had some experience, but it's just like, yeah, just being at home, just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like you're part of the tournament, even though you're covering it. And
so, do you think that was more the thing for you, was the fact that you were stuck at home and doing it at home? Like, for you, that was just a bit like,
yeah, it's just strange and just it's in a strange way. But
probably felt like when I'm at home and I'm out here tweeting the memes and stuff, like the tennis. So like, yeah, it's not the same. Yeah.
But it, less, I mean, yeah.
If it, does it feel like less professional or something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, just sitting in my bedroom. Like, you know?
Yeah.
See your bed behind you.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Especially when it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah. Oh man. But you weren't doing night matches, were you?
Not live blogging, but I did write like.
Some articles. How's that?
It wasn't great enough. But but no, I'm like I feel like I'm kind of used to it because I'm done. Like. When I was at Eurosport, I was doing like Australia and 12.
Oh, that's 12 a nightmare. Yeah.
So like, it's fine. Like, I stay up for dinner. So
I feel like I'm surrounded by professionals, guys.
Oh, dude, please. You're professional as well. Please, do not get it twisted. And yeah, I mean, so that's kind of our US Open chat. So the next Grand Slam now, which is weird, that should be normally that is the last Grand Slam of the year, US Open. But now we're gonna have the Roland Garros or French Open.
Mm.
With fans, like, how is that going to work in terms of, and would you, the question for you, Tamini, like, would you feel comfortable if the Guardian said, oh yeah, Tamini, we want you to go over there and cover it? Like, how would you, what would you say?
I mean, I don't know, maybe, but I'd just avoid human contact.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird, like, in France, it's weird, like, there's now over 10,000 cases per day.
Mm. Yeah, they've not, their numbers went high after summer.
Yeah, so I don't fully trust the, not trust, but like, I'm looking at the French Federation and just wondering what their priorities. Yeah,
I think things are going to change though. I because like, say for instance, that they're not allowing players to stay in their own accommodation. They've all got to stay in like the designated hotels.
Yeah.
I think that's going to change because I think you're going to get a lot of players saying, "Listen, I'm not doing that."
Like, and some of them will be looking at that hotel, be like, "Ew, that's cheap."
Like, so I think that's one of the things that will change. I don't know. I don't think they'll back away from the fans because they've already sold the tickets. So I think we're gonna have fans there, but it obviously won't be anywhere near.
I mean, unless there's like any government.
I mean, I don't know. Because when you watch like football, as in so Ligue 1, which is their like top division football, there are fans allowed in the stadiums. Obviously, not a lot, but there are fans
were
allowed.
They're
all like spaced out and stuff, but. So for me, that tells me that, okay, well, if they're doing that for football, then they will probably go ahead and
I'm just hoping by then, like, again, any, like, government, like, stuff that comes in and be like, oh, yeah, no, actually, like, we don't want any people there and stuff. But I don't. It's weird because I went to France a couple of weeks ago for my birthday and I feel like they were even more strict there than... Like, I saw everyone wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, they literally, every shop had security guard, like, in front. And you could literally, it was impossible for you to enter, like, a store without a mask on. So, I don't know. But I think because it was summer, people, like, going out more and stuff. Especially, like, south of France, for example, apparently that was, like, crazy. Like, a lot of people were there. And, yeah, but we'll see anyways. But I definitely do agree with the whole, I think they would change the rule about, like, players not having their own accommodation, especially the big players. They'll find a way. They're always allowed the big players.
We're coming to the end now. But just briefly, I do want to talk about the players. What was it? Professional Tennis Players Association, PTPA.
The MAGA team.
A lot of like confusion around like the kind of not makeup, but well, yeah, I guess you can say the makeup of it and like how there aren't any women, although. Vasek Pospisil, who's like one of the main, like, I guess, founders with Djokovic, he did say that women are included. And then Serena was asked, I think, who asked the question? Was it George?
When she was like, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so she's basically, Serena's had a conversation with Novak about the whole thing, but she wasn't like letting off what was said. So I'm intrigued. Like, what are your thoughts in terms of this, like, professional players?
I mean, with Serena, I don't think she really cares. She's 30. She's going to be... she'll be gone soon.
She don't care about y'all.
She doesn't care. It's fine. Like, she has other priorities.
She's out here thinking, listen, I've been dominating this sport for over 20 years. You sorted the rest by yourself.
But in terms of, like, the whole thing, like, do you think it's even needed? Like, a players association, as in separate from the ATP, WTA?
I mean, I feel, in general terms, I'm for like unions and for workers, you know, for workers, like if they have grievances and problems, like banding together and sorting it out. It's just, and so on that hand, I don't, you know, I'm not against it. And I also don't like, people are like, oh, the timing. I don't really like, I think whatever, do it, you know, this is a period for like restructuring things and so fine. But I do like have a, I mean, you mentioned the MAGA team. That's kind of my like, my issue is just the kind of, I question the politics and the decision making of the leadership and, you know, so in general terms, I think, yeah, like...
Do you feel like you need to see more from it for you?
Yeah, I mean, like, I also just, we don't know, we still don't know much.
That's the thing, yeah, we didn't get that enough information.
Yeah, like one of the things is they're like, oh, we're, like, Pospisil is like, oh, we're just uniting, we're not gonna, you know, we're not disruptive, but I think it's disruptive in itself. And
there's talk about, like, basically them looking to, I don't know, increase prize money and stuff like that in terms of... share in, from certain tournaments anyway.
Yeah.
Which tennis players are paid pretty healthily, like, when you think about it. But then again, like you said, like, every worker has a right to kind of, I don't know, come together and, like, unionize, like, in their own right, I guess, so.
But my thing, I really feel like, I personally feel like, oh, this is a waste of time, because I always feel like they always favor the bigger players in anything. And I feel like this year alone, it showed that a lot. So like, for example, when the whole French Open thing happened, allegedly they only called Rafa. Nadal first to tell him to let him know. That's apparently, allegedly,
the king of Paris.
So it's stuff like that. Like, I feel like every decision they make is to favor the big threes or like Serena or something, because at the end of the day, what's bringing in the money? Tickets.
Yeah,
that's why, for example, I tell you this all the time, I'm like, these draws are rigged all the time. I'm so sorry. There are some first rounds.
I don't want any litigious.
Okay, guys, this is my own opinion, by the way. This is not the Blackspin Global opinion. It's not Eugene's opinion. It's not Tomani's opinion. This is my opinion. I personally believe that I feel like sometimes the draws are, you know, are looking a bit. And I'm not the only one who said it as well on that tennis podcast.
Leslie Allen,
she said the same thing, because she was explaining about, like, because still talking about Althea Gibson, like, back in the days and the stories, and it's actually really, really, really good. And they were talking about how, like, obviously before they didn't have the technology to do it, so they were doing it, you know, and
picking
stuff.
Out of a hat.
Yeah. And then they asked, and then, you know, they asked her, like, oh, so do you think it was rigged before? And she was like, I still think it's rigged now. And they literally, you should have seen, to me, they literally just changed the subject in 2 seconds, like, completely. And I was laughing. I was like, yes, girl. So I really think, whether there's a union or not, I feel like they're never going to fully take in these players, like, seriously. Do you get what I mean? And I feel like at the end of the day, and what's annoying is that these big players, they know this. So why are you dragging these other players with you? So that's what I'm thinking. When I look at them, I'm like, you guys are wasting your time. In my opinion, that's what I think anyways. But again, it would have been nice to see, you know, a little bit more diverse as well. But then again, the men players, some of them don't care about the women players like that. So, I don't know. I feel like all this is a waste of time. Just play
I think,
game
like you said, like, we'll just see it, like, how it develops, because it's just clearly, like, in its, like, infancy, in it. So.
And the fact that they want Novak to be their leader after what happened this year. Please.
That's the fair point. But, yeah, but I'd say, like, in I think there's reason for, like, lower rank players, like, that's a complete, you know, a proper reason to for people to be upset. And, like, we've seen, like, at the US Open, part of the reason why it got the kind of green light to be held is because it pumped some of its money into the tournaments, so other tournaments could be played.
It gave
money to the
wheelchair events
and also to, like, the WTA and ATP. So
that's the thing. So it's not even just the women. So if there was, like, more of the wheelchairs, I think one of them was, I think someone was tweeting about, oh, if this is going to help in terms of, like, people seeing more of, like, the wheelchair, like, matches played on TV and stuff, that would be great. So that's the thing. Or if it was a thing where I felt like if there was more, I think I would have respected it more if I wasn't seeing, like, higher ranked players. If it was lower ranked players that came, anyway, there were some women, some of the wheelchair, some of the double play, like, some, like, different type of people, mixed. And it was a mix, and they were coming in together, I would have respected it. But if you have someone like Novak coming in telling me and talking about, you know, about a union, I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to be like, this is all just image. Like, I'm not taking it seriously. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. It was interesting to see how Nadal and Federer came out as well and be like,
At the same time as well.
At the same time, yeah. Like, oh, and then Federer was like, I agree.
I cringe, to be honest.
Of course. All this is what I'm saying. These, you know, these tennis players and their PR, I got to give it to them.
Yeah, I don't think Rafa's ever logged into Twitter. Like,
Of course, he was in his yard that he just bought. That's like how many, like, he was out here chilling. Same with Federer and his knee, fam. He probably even asked, like, what's his tweet about? Oh, all right, cool, cool, cool. They don't give a F about you players.
To close, actually, because we're going to talk about Rome and then we'll finish, but have you not seen that video of, I think, Gael Monfils getting Rafa Nadal to say happy birthday to Alina? Alina, I could never say her surname. Someone say her surname for me, please.
Svitolina.
Thank you. Because it was her birthday a few days ago. Yeah. So, like, Monfils got Nadal to, like, wish her happy birthday.
I didn't see the video.
Rafa Nadal looks so uncomfortable. Like, it's just...
He's actually, like, he's kind of a funny guy.
Oh, he's hilarious.
I think he can't... I think Andy must have talked about, like, a prank that he did to... I think Nadal did a prank to, like... Andy, he didn't have Nadal's new number, and Andy was having dinner with his wife,
okay.
And then he got, like, a message saying, "Oh, it was so nice to see you last night. You were so sad," something like that. And it was Nadal who sent it, and Andy was just here looking at the phone, looking at his wife, looking at his phone, and then Nadal came behind him and was be like, "Yeah, it was me." But yeah, he. I'm looking forward to seeing him, by the way.
Yeah, because that's what we're going to talk about quickly now. So Rome gets it's underway from today. It's a Monday we're recording this. So from a back. It's been global perspective.
Yes,
it's the return of Gael Monfils,
which
is
going to
be big. Yeah, so he's the fifth seed. He's got a first round bye. So we've also got, on the women's side anyway, some tricky first rounders. So Venus is due to play Victoria Azarenka as a US Open finalist. Which is incredible effort from Vika, to be fair, coming off the back of, her final. You got Sloane Stephens playing Garbin Muguruza, which is going to be incredible.
I'm looking forward to that.
And I think Sloane, we didn't really touch on that, but I think Sloane...
That's true,
This US Open has shown that, like, she's back,
she's
like,
back,
on it.
Yeah.
Like, she switched on. So hopefully she can carry on that form.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. No, I mean...
You know what? She likes clay, though. So I have faith. Believe me... You know, me and Stevens, we had, like, a very hard relationship lately. But with the way she played US Open and the fact that she loves clay, I think that, you know, she's going to do, like, pretty well. Mm. I think she was one of those players that needed a break as well. Because before that, it was just too much. I felt like, because even, like, people were saying, they felt like, she doesn't want to play or anything. I think she just had a lot in her mind or type of thing.
Fair.
You know, like, I feel like, you know, the pressure of her winning again. And then, you know, she recently got engaged. And I think there was times where she talked a lot about, because she's been very open about her having her own family and anything. So you never know. Mm. I think she was really going through things. And then she was changing coaches as well. Yeah, she's back with Kamara. Yeah, exactly. So
how do you feel that's going? Like, where's that going? Where's that match? Who's winning that match between her and Muguruza?
Honestly, I find, like, right now just hard to tell.
That's what I'm saying.
There's so little, like, data. Like, I mean, Sloane played much better than Muguruza, but Muguruza didn't. She was like, she hurt her ankle and.
Yeah.
But with Sloane, like, I'd say, like, she's, for me, like, she's one of the most talented players in the world by far.
Yeah.
Like, I think of, like, the best she's played, and, like, that's better than, aside from, like, Osaka and a few others, like, some of the tennis she's played in the past is just insane. So
100%,
It's been, like, obviously over the past, this year, like, her form had been so poor. And, and so, yeah, although I said I'm not sure about whether it's turning a corner, I don't know if maybe she just saw Serena in the draw and was like, you know, just clicking the gear. But, like...
But I don't get why people said that, because that wasn't the first time she had Serena in a draw.
No, but I don't know. It's
everyone was saying, Serena.
That's
like,
true.
That wasn't the first time. It's been, like, quite a few times.
But, like, I mean, I feel like she played, like, obviously she played well the whole time.
Yeah,
like, she made the third round without losing a set.
Yeah.
Very easily. Yeah, and then she, like, a set and a half, she was kind of killing Serena.
No,
like,
she was, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, credit to Serena, because she switched
exactly.
on again. Vika, Venus, who's winning that? I think you're going to have to say Venus, surely.
You'd think so, yeah. I think Vika, because she got a wild card.
Yeah.
Like, in her press conference, she was told that she was playing Venus.
And yeah,
that's like
a tweet, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, you know, and I think, like, because she got a wild card, she feels obliged to go there and to show up, like, instead of just, like, being like, I made my final, no thanks.
I think Venus also is given a wild card as well.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, I think so. So we're saying Venus for that then.
It should be. But also, Azarenka's playing 4 weeks in a row, which is
it's
crazy.
A lot of tennis, yeah, man. It's plus it's a different surface.
And she's normally like historically, she's injury prone. Mm. Like in the past, like she, you know, she that's this not. That's too much for her. Yeah. But I mean, who knows?
We'll see. That's what I'm saying. Like this whole season is just a mess.
Yeah, there's just no data to know like form and things like that. So it's hard. Like,
so you're one of those analytic guys. Analytics.
No, just but when I say data, I just mean like wins and losses. Like,
oh, okay. You don't know
matches and
like
stuff.
You don't know who's in good form, who's been playing well.
I hear that.
It's very hard to predict.
And then
at the moment.
So we've also got Coco Gauff taking on Ns Jabeur.
Which is
a rematch of Lexington. I'm going to say Coco is going to win that. Although, I'm going to say Coco.
I'm going to say Coco.
It might not be like straight sets,
Tamini,
but.
You're too quiet.
What do
you
think? Coco. Tamini doesn't agree.
I don't know. I think it's interesting for Coco because of how. I mean, this is her first time on clay. At the top level,
true.
Which will be interesting.
That's a great shout. That is a great shout.
But she's also former junior French Open champion.
Yeah,
so.
Indeed.
So I'm interested to see just how her game matches up against
quite
the top player.
Quite a few good matches.
And then we also had, before we came on, Jasmine Paolini, our Italian Ghanaian sister. she beat Sevastova in straight sets. And that match, I think it went on for like 65 minutes, which is...
Yeah, that was quick.
Pretty good performance.
Playing against Sevastova.
This is what
well.
I'm saying. Although Sevastova, she's kind of in terrible form at the moment.
Yeah.
But Paolini now has Halep in the second round, which is going to be an experience. And I said to Lucy, like, I think...
Yeah, you said that.
It's not going to be easy for Halep. Yeah. I think Paolini's going to have... Yeah, I think she'll give her a hard time. One hopes anyway. So, yeah, we'll see.
We shall see.
And I think that wraps it up, which is like, wow. It's been a long one, but very, very enjoyable.
I mean, hey, it's our first slam back.
Exactly, yeah.
It's actually
our first slam podcast, which is incredible.
That's true.
So, and look, we've got a special guest on with us. Like, so... Fantastic. We're trying to do things here, man. We're trying. But no, massive thanks to Tamini for joining us, man.
Yeah,
really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate you, man. And yeah, just keep up the work. Like, love reading your stuff, like I keep saying.
Yeah, I liked your soccer piece today.
Thank you.
That was really good.
I must read.
And you
that.
Know what? You can actually tell when it's really a black writer writing an article. Like, you felt that black power right there. You get what I mean? So I really like that.
On that, actually, there was something I read yesterday in The Guardian again, actually. I think he's American.
Oh, is this Andrew Sullivan?
That's it.
He's black.
No, Andrew Lawrence. Yeah.
Delete that part.
Andrew Lawrence. Like,
I follow him on Twitter, so please delete.
That's the thing. I didn't know who he was until I read that piece. I started following him. He followed me back. So I was like, shouts out to you. But yeah, what a piece. Like, and I love that. Like, because again, you instantly were able to tell it was a black person writing it. Just because some of the things he was saying and like, yeah, the feeling in it. Like, so... We need more, man. And like you said again with Ava as well, like the Washington Post, like love what she does. So shouts out. We need more. Just like we need more on the court, we need more in the writing room as well.
We just need them everywhere. Like, I'm telling you, I've always said it, like literally we need it everywhere. We need like from the media, camera people,
indeed.
Everyone,
indeed.
Coaches, umpires, all of them on the board, on board, everywhere. I just want to see black people everywhere. That's the thing, and hopefully we'll definitely get there.
Yeah, sorry but surely. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in, and yeah, look out for the next episode, which will be back to our normal scheduling of every fortnight. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and until next time.